remember at Mother's Day, we talked about the important role that mothers have in leading their children to Christ. And if you guys were here, if you mothers were here and everybody else was listening, we saw that the mothers in the Bible, they passed on their faith, right? That's what the mothers and the grandmothers did. They passed on their faith, they taught their children, and they modeled and they exemplified what that faith was to their children. So, you know, we're going to talk about dads today, and dads have a similar responsibility. I don't know if any of you all listen to Sports Talk Radio, but that's my drive home. And there's a guy on Sports Talk Radio that is pushing for Father's Day to get equal time with Mother's Day. He says, you know, there's not as many Father's Day cards. There's not as many Father's Day celebrations. I don't know if that's true or not. It's fun to listen to. But I do know that God's Word gives equal time to fathers. And God considers fathers so important in raising their children. And one of the reasons that we see this is kind of what the introductory video talked about. Kids get their idea of God from their fathers. And we're going to see that today, but I hope you understand that kids relate to God initially because the way they relate to their father. And they see how their father relates to them. And that is one of those important lessons we're going to learn today. So if you would stand, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We read a couple of these verses for Mother's Day, but we're going to look at this whole passage. We're going to read verses 1 through 24. And remember, this is Moses telling the Hebrews how they're going to act and how they should act when they come into the promised land. And he's trying to teach them how to keep God a central focus in their life and how to stay in God's graces. It says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all goods which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is the meaning of the testimony, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?' Then you shall say to your son, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. then he brought us up out from there, and he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is to this day. You can be seated. So Moses is trying to make sure, as the Hebrew people pass into this promised land, that they remember God. And he's putting this burden on fathers primarily. He's putting it on mothers too, but today we're going to talk about the burden he puts on fathers. And he wants fathers to pass down to their sons, to their grandsons, all of this information that he's just conveyed to them. He wants them basically to remember and reflect God at every circumstance. So we're going to go through about 5 lessons today that come out of these scriptures and understand what it is and how it is that a godly father can lead his children, his grandchildren, his grandchildren's children, if it goes on that long, how a godly father can lead those people to follow God. And let's be clear, you know, there is no greater success in the world than bringing a child to God, than bringing someone to God. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much land you have. I don't care whatever possessions you may have. Your success, your biggest success, is you're coming to God and you're listening to God and obeying Him and bringing others. That's what lays up that treasure in heaven. Remember, we don't really care about the treasure that we lay up here. Yes, our 401k account, as you've seen it plummeting lately, you know, we do watch that, okay? But we're laying up a treasure somewhere where that the wealth of that treasure is never going to plummet, right? Moths are not going to eat it. Rust is not going to corrupt it. It's laid up eternally. So I want to show you these 5 things. The very first thing that we need to do is invite children to receive the Lord. We have to invite them to receive the Lord. So, first thing that requires, dads, is that we be followers of God ourselves, that we be ones who can pass it on. You cannot pass on something that you don't know, and you cannot effectively pass on something you don't believe. You can parrot the words, you can say the right things, but as you'll see through the rest of today, if you don't live it out, if you don't inspire these people, if you don't instruct them in the right ways, the invitation in and of itself is probably not going to be enough. God can work with it, right? God can take whatever you do as a father and get into the minds and hearts of our young people and change their lives forever. So the first thing we need to do is invite people to receive the Lord. Now, we can do that just point blank. You know, we give invitations every Sunday, and you can give an invitation to your kids at home. You can say, hey, come learn about the Lord. Let me tell you about God. So don't overlook that simple approach. Sometimes that's kind of awkward, you know. You're sitting around the dinner table, and all of a sudden somebody starts talking about God. Sometimes people get a little, what are we doing? That's when we're supposed to talk about God. Okay? We're supposed to talk about God in the house, because we're not going to talk about God maybe in school so much anymore. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But we need to talk about God all the time that we can. And, you know, we were talking during VBS, a comment came up of, well, you know, I only talk to Christians a lot most of the time. Okay, what can you talk to Christians about? Well, still talk to them about God. What good does that do? The question came. Look, it reinforces who we are. It builds people up. It reinforces their faith. It helps them to understand different aspects of faith. So don't think just because I'm only talking to somebody who's a Christian that we should talk about something else. We should talk about God, but we should invite our children to receive God. And we can do that just point blank, or we can do it by there's more ways than these 4, but I wanted to go through these 4 because I think these are important. They're in the scriptures, and they talk to us about the chances that we can get to talk to our kids. So first of all, talking about inviting kids, remember in verse 4 and 5 of Deuteronomy 6, this is what the invitation would be. Hear, O children, the Lord our God is one. That's what he's saying. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So that's the invitation. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He arose again and was seen. Explain that to them. We're going to have to flesh it out somehow for them to understand it. And one of the ways that we can do that is through family devotions. You know, you look at verse 7 here in Deuteronomy. This is the teaching part. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So look, we can have this conversation anytime. We can have it in the house. We can have it on a fishing boat. We can have it sitting on the bank, watching our lures not do anything. We can have it anytime we're doing something with our kids. And one of the things that we really need to learn is God should be part of our everyday life. God should be part of our everyday breath. I mean, it should not be something unusual for us to be talking about God, for us to be thinking about God. And a great time to do that is during a family devotion or just a devotional time. Another way to do this, and kids, this is in the Bible. I'm going to read you a couple of verses. But as a father, one of the ways that we invite children to follow God is by faithful discipline. Right? A couple of verses. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." Discipline helps children learn. We're going to talk about what in just a minute. Proverbs 13:24, you guys know this one. "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Now, those aren't real popular verses in today's society, are they? But they're true. They've always been true. And here's why. Remember in the School of Obedience we did a couple of weeks ago? One of the things that we have to learn as believers is to joyfully accept the discipline of God. And we have to understand that when God is disciplining us, he's doing it out of love. And even when he disciplines, he still loves us. Now, where are kids going to learn that lesson if they don't learn it from us, dads, or from parents? We have to be able to discipline them, even with that rod. We call it a hickory switch, maybe. But whatever your rod may be for discipline, we have to do it in love, and we have to show them that we're doing it in love. And then after it's done, we still love them. A lot of people think, you know, God can't love me because I did this. The kids need to learn that God forgives sin just like fathers forgive. As earthly fathers, we're supposed to forgive, right? And we teach a very valuable lesson, or sometimes we teach a bad lesson, if we punish and don't forgive, if we punish not out of love. But when we discipline them, that is actually a way to show them who God is and to lead them towards God. The third one is famous deliverance. Look at verse 22 and 23. This is the famous example. So you can tell them about, and what Moses wanted to tell them about was how God brought us out of Egypt. And he brought us here. Look at the great things he did against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all of his household. Then he brought us into this land where we're going to have this land flowing with milk and honey. Now that's a famous deliverance, right? We all know about the Exodus from Egypt. But you know what? That was 3,500 plus years ago. What we need to do as fathers is tell our kids, yeah, you know, there was a famous deliverance 3,500 years ago, but you know how God delivered me? Oh, well, what did God deliver you from? Were you in Egypt? No, wasn't in Egypt. Talk to him about what God delivered you from. He delivered me from a life of sin and bondage. This gets the idea that God's not distant. God's not just old, right? God's very much alive. He's doing things today. And we want to talk to them about the deliverance that God gives even today. Every single day when God saves someone, He delivers them from sin, right? He delivers them from death to eternal life. In our Christian walk, even when you know we've been Christians a long time, He delivers us every day. Right? When we sin, we confess He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, right? And to restore that righteousness, restore that fellowship that we have. So we need to not just look at this as a deliverance that happened once all those years ago. We need to remember it's still ongoing every single day. And then finally, we can make a fervent declaration. Joshua gave the people of Israel when he took over from Moses there. They're crossing into the land, and here's what he says. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that you served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's not a mealy-mouth confession at all, is it? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua didn't say, so long as it's comfortable, so long as it is, you know, we're doing good economically, so long as the crops are good, so long as we're winning battles. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he did this in front of a group of people who were not serving the Lord. So we can make it a fervent declaration. We can make it a bold declaration. But the point is, we've got to tell our kids we're going to serve the Lord. You know what? He says, post it on your doorpost. Buy a picture that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let them ask you, why is that up there? It's something as simple as that. Put it on the fridge. Get a magnet. Put it on the fridge. And ask them, talk to them about what it is that we're going to do to serve the Lord. So that's the first thing that parents have to do, that men have to do, that dads have to do. They have to invite their children to receive God. And you can do it this way, any one of these. There's all kinds of different ways that you can invite them. But the point is, you have to tell them who God is. You have to tell them who Jesus is. And you have to make sure they understand. You know, we had some new believers come forward at VBS. Parents have got to build on what those kids have learned. Parents have got to build on the faith that they have shown. If they don't, you know what happens? It goes out of their mind. We want them to understand who Jesus is. So that's step one. Step two takes the invitation a little bit further. And what we've got to do is inspire children to revere the Lord. And that comes from verses 10 to 14. So go back and look at that. And this is what Moses is saying. We're going to take it into today's language, but he says, look, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to the fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities. And listen to what he does now. He's going to give you these large and beautiful cities that you didn't build. He's going to give you houses full of things which you didn't fill. He's going to give you great wells that you didn't dig. He's going to give you vineyards and olive trees that you didn't plant. So don't forget who he is. Remember to fear or revere the Lord. So that's the inspiration. That's what we want to do. You want to inspire them to believe. Right? And Moses is saying, look, here's the inspiration. You're going to get all this stuff. He's promised you this. And you didn't do anything for it. You walked into this ready-made world that God prepared for you. Walled cities, great vineyards, all this stuff. So what would that look like today? How would we say that today to our kids? How about this one? You know what? If you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will make whatever path you're on successful. Right? Straight out of the Bible, but it's a current inspiration. We have to have a reason to want to do all these things. And we need to inspire our kids to want to be godly. We need to inspire them to want to dig in the Bible. We want to inspire them to let God show them what He wants in their lives. Teaching is one thing. This is teaching plus. This is inspiration. What about this? Tell them how God's worked in your life and how He turned a bad situation into a great situation. Everybody's going to go through something bad in their lives. And if they don't understand that God's in that and that God can turn it to, you know, what's the saying? If God gives you lemon, make lemonade. Or if the world gives you lemon, make lemonade. That God can take that bad situation that we think is bad and turn it into the greatest situation in our lives, that's inspiration for them. It gets them through the bad situation. It inspires them to turn to God to solve their problems. Let them see the impact of helping others. That's going to inspire them. You think, well, they can see that anywhere. No. They can't. People, and I'm telling you, as the economy gets worse and we just go on as a society, helping others is a lost art. We need to have that heart. We need to have a servant's heart where we help people. And we need to be joyful in helping people. And the kids need to see that to inspire them to help others. We don't do it because it's a rule and we've got to. That's not going to inspire anybody, is it? You must give X dollars to some charity every year. That's not going to inspire anybody. But you say, hey, do you know that if you give to the Nashville Rescue Mission $25, that feeds 15 people? That's different. Put real life into it. Put real facts. Put your own experiences into it. And let it inspire your kids. And look, you got to teach them right from wrong, like these verses said. You got to do more than teach. Because if we teach right and wrong, we can't possibly cover every situation that's going to happen, can you? The world is changing fast. We can't say, here's a list of 175 million things that you can do and 174,999 that you can't. All right? What we can do, though, is instill in them a sense of right and wrong. We can inspire them to go to the Bible and understand how to understand what right and wrong are. And then use it. Right and wrong are under challenge. They're under attack today. They're going to be under attack as our kids grow up. And it's going to get worse. They have to understand that there is a right and wrong. And that God is the author of right. So we have to inspire them to revere God. Revere God doesn't mean to fear like fear and tremble. You guys know this. It means to understand how awesome He is, how holy He is, and to give Him honor. That's being challenged in today's society too. But we have to inspire them to do it. So we've got to invite them to do it. We've got to inspire them to do it. And the next thing we've got to do is influence them to do it. Y'all know that there is such a thing in today's society called an influencer. Anybody ever heard that term? All right, most of the young people are raising their head and the teachers in here. Okay. You know what the definition of an influencer is? Get this. This is what it says. An influencer is a person who has a personal brand and reputation online that's strong enough to sway opinions, especially the opinions of consumers. Influencers usually leverage social media platforms to build a following of people who are interested in their products or their niche. So we have these social media influencers. Let's define that, what that should be in terms of a dad. How about this? An influencer is a dad who, through godly action, sways the opinions of his children towards God. And he leverages everything to lead them to God. That's a true influencer. That's a lasting influencer. All these products that we may buy from these social media influencers, they're going to rot, they're going to decay, they're going to be gone. But the influence that we can pass on to our kids by leading them to God is one of those things that will never, ever go away. So we don't need kids to get their influence from social media, somebody that they see on media. We need our kids to get their influence from somebody sitting on the sofa in their living room. Somebody that they know, somebody that they can look at and they can say, gee, my dad went through this. I understand what's going on. I understand that my dad reveres the Lord. I understand that my dad worships the God of this universe. So we need to influence them. We need to definitely invite them. We definitely need to inspire them, and we need to influence them. And then finally, we need to instruct them in a couple of different ways. First, we've got to instruct them to reflect the Lord. And we go back to verse 6 and 7 again. This is what we're going to teach them. Instruct them to reflect who God is. And you say, yeah, I know that. But why is it reflecting who God is? Remember, we are called to be little Christs. We are called to be His ambassadors. When people look at us, they should see Christ. Did y'all hear that? I mean, that's pretty tough. When people look at us, let me turn it to a question. When people look at you, do they see Christ? They're supposed to. We looked at the story of the Good Samaritan in Sunday school this morning. And you know, this Samaritan who the Jewish people, they just hated the Samaritans because they were always doing things to them. They were always helping the enemy. They were outcast according to them. And this Samaritan helped someone who was beaten on the road when the Jewish priest and the Jewish holy family walked by without helping. The Samaritan reflected God. And you know, the Pharisee was the one that asked that question, and oh, that had to just cut him. Because he was trying to justify himself by going, well, I don't have to help everybody. I just have to help my neighbors, thinking that they were only the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus turned it on him and said, now who's your neighbor? So we need to reflect Jesus Christ in all situations. What if we don't like the people that we're with? You reflect Jesus Christ. What if we love the people we're with? You reflect Jesus Christ. What if we're in an uncomfortable situation? Reflect Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do is a very good question in most instances. How is Jesus going to respond to this stimulus? How is He going to respond to this situation? How would He want me to respond to this question from my son? Well, what do I do if? Right? Y'all ever have to teach your kids how to deal with a bully at school? A couple of us? Now, let me ask it this way. How many dads gave advice that when you gave it, your wife looked at you and cringed? Okay, yeah. So dads have a different take a lot of times on how to deal with bullies, but the point is we've got to remember to give godly advice. We've got to remember to instruct children to reflect the Lord in all circumstances. And sometimes that's hard to do, but we got to remember that. And last but not least, the second kind of instruction that we've got to give them is that they always need to remember the Lord. Look at verse 12. And this is kind of said from a negative perspective. It's a warning. He says, look, God's going to do all this stuff, but beware. And why should we beware? Why should our children beware? Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And you know, you look back at the Hebrews and coming out of the land of Egypt, you think, how could they forget? How could they not worship God? Well, I mean, they went through everything. They saw miracles daily, this pillar of fire by night, this cloud by day, the parting of the Red Sea, all those miracles, and they all followed God right after that, right? No, they started griping because they didn't have food. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They forgot what God did to them and for them. We need to remember what God has done for us, and we need to instruct our children on what He's done. We talked about redemption at VBS a lot this week, and I think the kids got that concept. He paid our sin debt in full that we could not pay. That's what He did. He gave us eternal life. Never let them forget that. We can look at the positive Bible verses. This was a warning. But look at the positive one. Isaiah 46, 9 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none other like me." So God's saying, remember how I made the earth? Remember how I made the heavens? Remember how I created all this? Remember how I designed all this? Remember all that I've done? There's nobody like me. And we need to remember that. That gives us incentive to follow God. Psalm 77, verse 11 says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember His wonders of old." You know, we take the goodness of God for granted sometimes. But we look out, it's just another beautiful day. You know, we had perfect weather last week for VBS, didn't we? Better weather for the cookout day, thank goodness. But, you know, it was wonderful. We couldn't have gotten any better. We take that for granted. We take our breath for granted. We're not promised another breath. We take security for granted. We're not promised security. We don't need to take things for granted. Dads, we need to teach kids, instruct them to remember God. And from James, we need to instruct them that every good and perfect gift comes from above. So if they've got some blessing in their lives, it's not just luck. It's not coincidence. God is blessing them. Well, I worked hard for it. Yes, and God blessed you with the ability to work hard. Okay? It's God's blessings flowing through you, through His children. Yes, hard work, but that's a blessing from God. Y'all realize that? It is a blessing to be able to work. There's some people that can't, and there are some people, believe it or not, that really cannot work and wish they could. Now, we got a problem in society where a lot of people don't want to work. That's different. But there are people that would do it if they could because they remember what it is to be blessed. We need to remember that no matter how we get the blessings, they all come from God. They can come from all other people. They could come from, you know, dead Aunt Millie that we didn't even know existed. However the blessing comes, it's God. It's God in it, and it's God teaching us through it. And we need to remember that our kids always need to understand that. We don't do things ourselves. We are blessed by God. He works through us. So dads, this is dads that are, granddads, and dads to be, if you're a dad to be in here. Young men, listen to this. When you guys have kids, these are the things that you should be thinking about as you go into fatherhood. And for those dads that have been around a while, did you hear anything in any of these verses that says, dads, you need to do all these things until you hit age 45, then you can stop? Did y'all hear that in the verses? No, I didn't hear that either. There's no stopping point for godly, fatherly instruction, right? Can you instruct your son when you're 80 and he's 40? Yes, sir. Can you instruct him when you're 30 and he's 10? Yes, sir. When you're 100 and he's 75? Yep. We have a friend in Waverly. She's over 100 now, and her son is 76. I mean, and she's still talking. It's amazing. You know, you think, wow, he's 76. Can he still learn something? Yes. If his father was still alive, could he learn something? Yes. We always have this obligation to teach. We got the obligation to invite, to inspire, to influence, and instruct. So fathers, that's what I'm challenging you to do today. And if you've messed up, look, we all mess up. We miss it. Tell your kids, hey, I missed this. I should have done this. And that'll be another instruction for them. You mean dad can be wrong? Oh, yes, dad can be wrong. But if dad admits it and dad says, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, that is a huge lesson for our kids. That lesson will tell them that dad is not somebody I need to be afraid of. Dad is human and dad will himself listen to God. They need to see dads listening to God. They need to see dads inviting, inspiring, influencing, and instructing. They need to see him doing it in the home. They need to see him doing it in the car. They need to see him doing it in the field, on the fishing pond, wherever it is. Kids need to see the dads active. So that's my challenge on Father's Day. We laid it all on mothers last month. It's at your feet today. And then we get a chance to watch our kids grow. And you get a chance to see God working in the lives of our kids. And when you see God doing something, make sure you remember to give glory to God. Not just in your closet, not just in your prayer time. Give glory to God in front of the kids. That will teach them that what that great thing that's just happened to them, or that bad thing as they think has just happened to them, is still important to God. So dads, keep it up. Happy Father's Day to everybody. And remember these things as you go forward. Remember that we can impact the lives of the kids in a long-lasting, eternal way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for all the fathers here. We thank you that you've given us a sacred task of teaching and inviting our kids to you, inspiring them to follow you, influencing them to follow you, and instructing them in your ways. Lord, we want to take that instruction seriously. We want to take that charge seriously. We want to make a lasting impression on our children. Lord, we thank you for giving us these kids that we get to influence. You've given us such an awesome responsibility, but an awesome joy too. Father, we thank you for sending your son to die for us. We know that when you put that sin on him, the sin that he did not deserve and did not commit, you turned your face away from him. What a horrible time that must have been for you and him. But Lord, we thank you that you were willing to do that so that we could spend eternity with you and so that we could have fellowship with you and Jesus all of our lives. Lord, we pray that those young people who have recently accepted you, that they would continue in studying your word. God, we just ask that you bless all the families that are here, the families to be, Lord, that you would guide them and direct them in coming to know you and understanding who you are and watch you work in their lives. If there's anyone here who's not yet a family member, Lord, we pray that they would come forward today and say, I want to be part of God's family. I want God as my heavenly Father. For those of us who already are Christians, Father, we just pray that we look at you every single day and we say, Daddy. Not father, not stuffiness, we say daddy. And we just understand we have bold access to you at any time, Lord, and that you love us and that we are the apple of your eye. And this we pray in his name. Amen.